Okay, we'll go back to those here later. Let's take our Bibles out, please. As I mentioned last week, we're going to be looking at the fruit of gratitude. So we understand now what gratitude is. It's not just saying thank you or writing thank you notes. We understand that gratitude is really something that's between us and God. It's an attitude in our heart. Being grateful, thankful for what God has allowed. Now, it's easy to do when the stuff is good, isn't it? And maybe even when it's really super bad, because we know that's the spiritual thing to do, is to just praise God for it. We don't understand why, but we're just going to praise God for it. But then there's all that stuff in the middle, those irritations during the day, like rubbing the hair the wrong way on a cat and just, be thankful the person made that comment to you. Be thankful the person in front of you drives that way. Be thankful your power went out. That happened to someone here this afternoon. Be thankful. Just be thankful for all things, because God has allowed it. Would God allow anything bad? No, he can't. Why? Because he is good, okay? Being grateful is just a recognition of God's sovereignty. It's a recognition as well of God's love for us. So it's not just a polite social etiquette. It is actually productive. It produces something when we are grateful. And that's the way God actually designed it to work. Consider this. Everyone wins when we're grateful. Okay, if you are grateful the way we've been learning about it, everybody wins. We get more delight in God because we're focused on God's love and sovereignty for us, and we're just praising him for whatever it is on this earth. God gets more glory from us because now we're praising him, and the people around you get enjoyment from your words or gestures of appreciation. Now, the results are absolutely universal. It's kind of like a law of physics. You do this, and this does happen. God has, in a sense, wired them into the universe. John Bloom said this about it. Gratitude is both a vital indicator of our soul's happiness and a powerful defender of our soul's happiness. Let me read it again. Gratitude is both a vital indicator of our soul's happiness, and it's a defender of our soul's happiness. Now, here's why this is true. Spiritually speaking, okay, our self-righteousness. So imagine you being self-righteous. It may be a stretch for you to imagine that, but imagine you're self-righteous. It keeps you, when we are self-righteous, it keeps us from depending on God, depending on others, because I'm good, I'm great, I can do this, I don't need help from anyone, I don't need to pray about this, I don't need to read my Bible, because everything in my life is going just fine right now. Self-righteousness keeps us from depending on God, because we don't need him. At least that's what we think. Now, if someone gives you something that you don't need, okay, what do you say? What's that? Thank you. Are you sure? You don't say, no, thank you, I don't need that. No, someone gives you something, even if you don't need it, you say, thank you. But you don't feel gratitude, I'm guessing. The words are just the thing that we're supposed to say. So when we get rid of our, and the reason we didn't feel it is because we didn't think we needed what they gave us. It's kind of tying it to self-righteousness here. When we get rid of our self-righteousness, which keeps us from depending or needing anything from God or others, what that does is it fosters additional habits and patterns when we get rid of the self-righteousness. Let me give you another example. Envy. When we are thankful, envy disappears. Now, what's envy? Envy is a desire for more. Okay? If we're thankful, envy disappears. It's difficult to be envious, wanting more, when we're truly grateful for what we have, for just what we have. Envy disappears. The same can be said about other temptations, jealousy, self-pity, you name it. So that, in that sense, gratitude acts as a guard over our soul's happiness. If our soul ain't happy, we maybe most likely have an issue with gratitude somewhere. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Look at this verse. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay, let's just consider that for just a moment here. The word watch is guard. Continue in prayer and guard with gratefulness. Thanksgiving, gratitude, thankfulness. Thanksgiving guards our heart. This verse is actually a command. So gratefulness, thankfulness, it's not an option for us. It's a command that we must obey. So let's look at our first point, the fruit of happiness. So this is interesting. How many would say that this is more believable if we said this in the opposite, okay? Happiness produces thankfulness, okay? Now, let's flip it around first. Thankfulness produces happiness. But wouldn't the opposite be more true? Happiness produces thankfulness. Because when I'm happy, I'm so thankful. When I'm not happy, I'm not so thankful. So happiness produces thankfulness, it would seem. Thankfulness and happiness, they're like two wheels on the same axle, okay? They go together. And when they're working together, when two wheels on the same axle are working together, we go places. In 2003, the American Psychological Association published some research that demonstrated a conscious focus on blessings, here's what they said, may have emotional and interpersonal benefits. Well, the Bible says it does, okay? But this is what they found in their research. They took three groups of people, instructed all three groups to keep a journal over a set amount of time. One group recorded every event that took place in their lives every day during that set amount of time. The second group was instructed to only record negative experiences. The third group recorded a list of things for which they were grateful every day during this amount of time. The gratitude group, the third group, what the psychologists found, the third group felt better about their lives as a whole. Thanksgiving produced happiness. And they were more optimistic in their expectations for the upcoming week because they had spent the last week focusing on blessings. They didn't call them this, I did. The Debbie Downers, okay? Always finding something wrong with everything. They need to practice gratitude. Debbie Downers are generally not happy people. You could share a blessing with them and they'll find something wrong with it, right? It's sunny out, beautiful day. it's too hot. Or whatever the case is. They need to practice gratefulness. Focus on blessing, and that will change their outlook on life. Talk to a Debbie Downer, okay? Talk to them. And once they're done telling you everything that's wrong with today, ask them this. Ask them, how do you think next week's going to be? What do you think they're going to say? Probably don't have a good outlook for the next week. Because thankfulness produces happiness. Practicing conscious gratefulness, it seemed to show a positive correlation with greater happiness from this study that was done. Now, the writers of the Bible, they didn't need that research to come to that conclusion. Directed by God, let's see what it says in Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. That the continual feast is this picture of happiness, festivity, positivity, because they are of a merry heart or a thankful heart. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. God knew, he created us, he wired this into the universe. Thanksgiving produces happiness. So let's look, number two, the fruit of repentance. Another fruit of being thankful. Repentance? Let's see how that fits. Thankfulness is something that leads to repentance. Well, let's follow this progression in the first two chapters of Romans. Our time doesn't allow us to read all of the verses there. You may be familiar with some of them, so maybe you already might be getting an idea of this connection. In those first two chapters of Romans, we see, first of all, sinners need to repent, okay? Yes, we need to repent. We're all sinners. Verse 20 of chapter 1 tells us that we are all without excuse. Every single one of us, a sinner with no excuse. Is one sinner better than another sinner? No. The very worst sinner that you can picture in your mind, whatever their sin was, it frustrates you so much. It is so horribly deplorable to you. You're just as bad as they are. We are all without excuse. We all need to repent. Now, number two, God's kindness leads to the repentance that we need. All right? We'll go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So number two was God's kindness leads to the repentance that we need. So we are sinners. We need to repent. We are without excuse. So God provides his kindness. As it's listed there, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, it all leads us to repentance. There in the first two chapters of Romans. Now, let's take another step in this progression. Number three, the grateful heart sees that kindness and gives thanks for it. Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Okay? Unthankfulness does not glorify him as God. Does not thank God for his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, those very things that lead to repentance, which they need. Now, let's go back to verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So the grateful heart sees that kindness and gives thanks for it. Now, what takes place next? Number four, presuming that God will continue to be kind to us in the absence of our repentance is a grave mistake. And then number five, increasingly hardened heart. Now that's the progression we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. It tells us, In chapter 2, we see God hardening their hearts. It says he gave them up to the lusts of their hearts because they hardened it. They rejected his kindness, his love, his goodness, his forbearance. They weren't thankful for it. Self-righteous. What does a self-righteous person say? I don't need it. I don't need that. They're not thankful. And then what happens to the person looking at Romans 1 and 2, the self-righteous person that looks at God's goodness and says, I don't need that. They reject it. What does God do? Gives them over to the lust of their heart, and their heart is hardened. Okay? Now, that's the big picture dealing with sinners and forgiveness of sins. But let's pull that concept down to us. When we are self-righteous and we don't think we need something and our gratitude isn't there, remember, it's all from God, and we are not thankful to God. Well, that's right where God took those unsaved people and gave them over to the lust of their hearts, and then their hearts were hardened even more. So we do have to be careful here, folks, because the fruit of gratefulness is repentance. Number three, well, before we put that up there, let me summarize this. The heart gratitude opens the pathway to repentance instead of hardening the heart, because it honors God. If we don't do this, our hearts harden, okay? Number three, another fruit, the fruit of restoring. Now, this might be obvious if we consider this as an either or, okay? What would make you feel better? Either someone says thank you, shows appreciation and gratefulness from what you've done, or finds fault or something lacking in what you've done. Which would you prefer? Obviously this one, right? Someone to show appreciation and gratefulness. By the way, are any of you in here, before I go on with the illustration, is anyone in here perfect? Okay, so that means everything David does, there's something wrong with it, right, David? Okay, I'm not going to pull out any more names. Okay, everything any of you do, there's going to be something wrong with it. Okay, that's just a given. Anything I do, there's going to be something wrong with it. So now what do we do? Well, we know that it would make us feel better if someone showed appreciation and gratefulness for what we did do right, rather than focusing on and finding the thing we didn't do right or how we should have done it differently. So if we know we would feel better with the appreciation, why don't we show that? Why do we become the fault finders, self-appointed Holy Spirits running around trying to convict people of where they're lacking? There's something wrong with us? Don't include me in that. He's right. Let's look at Proverbs 16. Remember this verse, okay? Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The person in your life that you love the absolute mostest, should they not get the sweetest of your words? I mean, don't you want their soul to be sweet, their physical health to be healthy? And yet, isn't it true that many times they get our irritable side, our complaining side, and our critical sides, right? And we are the hardest on those that we love the most. And that goes against what, when we look at Proverbs 16:24, we're actually shooting ourselves in the foot, in a way. So as we've already considered the first point in here, the fruit of happiness, this benefit is true for both the speaker and the hearer of gracious words. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, not just to the hearer, but to the speaker as well. So why should we express our thankfulness? Ultimately, because it honors God. The thing that we found something wrong with. Maybe I need to clarify, because this isn't saying, don't you ever say anything that I'm doing wrong or you're sinning. That's not what it's saying. If you're in a position to be a part of the solution, constructive criticism, meaning you're not just saying, I'll use myself as an example, Pastor, this is wrong. And then you walk away. Pastor, this needs to be done differently. Pastor, this needs to be fixed. Pastor, I noticed this. And then off home you go. That's just, I don't think I want to put a title on it. Constructive criticism is, Pastor, I've noticed this. How can I help remedy this? Can you see the difference there? Okay. So I'm not saying that we can never point things out. If we're in a position to help with the solution, absolutely. Okay. But what we're talking about here is just the negative complaining. I don't like this. I don't like that. And when we do that, we're forgetting everything we've already studied on gratitude. It's all about God. God is sovereign. And that thing that we find so irritating to us because it's not being done right, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, God allowed it in your life. He said, in your life right now, this is good for you to deal with. Do we trust him? He loves us so much. So ultimately, we need to express our thankfulness because it honors God, but also because many people need your expressions of appreciation. They need it. Has anyone ever asked you, would you please show me some appreciation today? No one does that. Okay, so we know that doesn't happen. How about this? I'll pull you into this now. Have you ever had a day where you just needed someone to say, I'm proud of you? You just needed someone to say, I care about you. I was thinking of you. We've had those days, haven't we? And we don't advertise it. So these people exist. So now, here we are, okay, talking about expressing gratitude or thankfulness. We have no idea who those people are. Many people need your expressions of appreciation. What happens when we express our appreciation to them? Well, you're in here. Do you remember that day? Okay. Something you were trying to do was going wrong. Okay. Ladies, whatever it is you're trying to cook, nothing was working. And your husband came home, the godly man that he was. And he said, honey, I so appreciate the effort you've done. Let's go out to eat because I don't want to eat this. No, he wouldn't have said that. But you know, when you get that appreciation, what it does to your morale, your spirit, it boosts it up, right? Okay, so now here we are. We have a choice to show appreciation. And we don't know who these people are. We are depriving them of the morale boost that they may need for that very day. when we don't practice showing appreciation to people. Number four, joy and thanksgiving. Let's consider these two things here. This is the connection between joy and thankfulness in the Bible. Psalm 97 and verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." There's the joy. "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous." If you're righteous, you're rejoicing in the Lord. "And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." So gladness plus rejoicing leads to thankfulness. What are we glad about? What are we rejoicing in? Well, we could be rejoicing in the same thing as Moses. Look what he says here in chapter 90 and verse 14. "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." We love God's mercy, don't we? We love God's blessings. And when we experience them, yes, we're rejoicing and we are thankful. Moses wrote Psalm 90. He said, "Satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Was he meaning that they will have no more longings? Nothing more that he could wish for? Nothing that he could wish was different? No, that's not what he's saying there. But if we have gratitude in our heart, our longings will be for the right things. God's will, longing for God's will, longing for God's honor. Our longings will be for all things God. And if I'm longing for all things God, those things that are irritating me now and making me not thankful, or my envy or coveting or whatever it is, I'm not even focused on them anymore. Moses recognized that. He didn't think every day of his life was going to be easy when he wrote this, with no suffering whatsoever. In fact, notice the way the next verse in his prayer reads. But before we do that, let's read verse 14 again. And then verse 15, it says something completely different. Verse 14, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil." Now, I guess this kind of clears up for us where afflictions come from, doesn't it? Moses is stating the afflictions came from God. You afflicted us. And it is God who afflicts. But when he afflicts, it is for our good. When he afflicts, he's not done. God doesn't leave us in the affliction. He doesn't waste the affliction. The affliction isn't for punishment. God doesn't punish us. The punishment for sin was already done on the cross. So the affliction is to make us more like him. It is designed to produce fruitfulness and gladness. We're actually going to explore that thought a little deeper later on. So let's wrap this up with just a simple analogy for us tonight. We know that drinking plenty of water is healthy, right? I was just reading some things today in preparation for Sunday school class about getting the proper amount of sleep and all of the things that does for us. And when we don't get the proper amount of sleep, all of the things that happen to our bodies physically and emotionally and mentally. But we know that drinking plenty of water is healthy, and not drinking enough water causes problems, right? So we know gratitude is healthy. Not practicing gratitude opens the doors for problems. Okay, let's just chew on that for another week. and we'll be back here next Wednesday to continue on. So let's go into our prayer groups.